Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. For July the 7th, I'm Paul White, and I'm honored you're with me in our journey through 1 Corinthians. I've been getting quite a bit of feedback lately on people who are excited that 1 Corinthians was our choice a few weeks ago. That's encouraging to me. It indicates, well, a few things. It indicates there's listeners, and it indicates that we have our finger rather close to the pulse of what the Holy Spirit was stirring in their hearts. And so that's pretty cool for me as the teacher sitting on the other end of the microphone. And if you have never reached out to us and the DDP is a part of your daily diet, I would love to hear from you. We do have sort of a receiving email for the podcast that if you are a podcast listener and you want to ask a question or you just want to let us know what it means to you, it's usually a non-reply box. So it's not one we're going to fire a response back, but they do get read, and that is ddp@paulwhiteministries.com. Love to hear from you if the DDP is making an impact in your life. We would appreciate letting us know. Also, I just want to say a quick thank you to those of you who give. I just felt led to do this before we started today. We always say thanks to people who give, you know, big sums or consistently give a big sum every month, or the people that sort of swoop in and give these massive gifts that help us in really tight crunches. And some people give, and they don't even know. I mean, we had one gift this summer that basically set the budget for the summer, which was amazing because I wasn't traveling as much and we didn't know exactly how we were going to pull that off. And then boom, that's so typical of the Father and of his children that listen to his voice. But I want to say specifically thank you to those of you who are like our $10 a month people. There are several handfuls of you who give $10 a month. That sum stuck out at me this morning as I was getting ready to record, and I want to say thank you. I felt just compelled of the Spirit to say thank you to those of you who give. That's a little sum, but man, you don't realize what it does, because there's so many of you that do it. It totals, it ends up totaling a chunk of our budget, and you make life a little easier. You make the stress go away a little better. And it's just because you've decided to be a helper. And I can't say thank you enough. And I would ask that if you are considering helping, but you don't think you can, if you join us at $10 a month, if enough of you do that, even enough new people do that, what a difference that makes. So it's not a solicitation today. It's really just a thank you. I don't want you to think that because it's a little bit, it doesn't mean much. Let me tell you something. A little bit goes a long way, and especially when a lot of people are given a little bit. Thank you. You mean a lot, and you're making a difference, because all of the platforms that we're on and the time we are being allowed to do it is because of the gifts that you give that help me to bring out my gift. And thank you so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I think for too long we've taken scriptures like this 14th and 15th verses of 1 Corinthians 3, and we have made it into a reward and punishment text in regards to our spirit. We've said we frame sermons and teachings of things like you're going to pay a price in the next life for what you're doing in this one, and the judgment is going to burn up all of the junk, and then God's going to reward you. And yet, if you read this as we have over the last few days and just take it in contextually, Paul's talking to a church battling sectarianism, and he has said, listen, you guys need to know you are the field of God. I'm a planter. Apollos is a waterer, but God's bringing things out of you. And I've laid a foundation for the gospel, and everybody else that comes in behind it is building on that foundation. We're all building the same building, he says. And you have the ability to build upon this foundation, which is Jesus Christ. That's the end of verse 11. And what you're building is either something worth building or something that's a waste of time. You're either putting things onto that foundation that would be likened to gold, silver, and precious stones, or you're putting things on that foundation likened to wood, hay, and straw. I'm not going to list off for you what they all look like. I know that that's kind of the way we like to be taught, but I don't think that's always the best way to learn. Because if I gave you two or three that were precious stones and gold and two or three that weren't, or if I gave you an exhaustive list, I might leave something off. You know where you're building things that matter and where you're not building things that matter, or where you're building things that don't matter. And that work becomes clear, that's 13, because the day will declare it. And that day, again, I don't think is necessarily some future judgment, but it's the day of testing that you go through, and you go through more than once. You don't go through it just here and there, or once in a while even. Sometimes you go through it for long stretches of time, and that work is tested to see what quality it is. If it's good, you get the reward of the fact that it lasts. You have something permanent. You have something that you can grasp hold of and hold on to. If you lose what you built, it's because it wasn't worth keeping. There's some things in your life that needed to be torn away. The end of verse 15 to me is pretty important, because he says he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, you are solid. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, because the foundation is Jesus. The stuff you're adding to your life, the stuff you're building, may not be that solid. You may have some bad concepts and some poor identity. You may be presenting yourself in a terrible way. You may not look at all as if you have a good foundation. And the day of testing is going to knock a bunch of junk down in your life, because you're not prepared. You're not equipped. But it doesn't kill you. It doesn't destroy who you are in Christ. You still remain the righteousness of God in Christ. And you're saved, yet so as through fire. And so the trial and the testing that you go through actually ends up showing you who you are and what you are. And what you are is holy. What you are is the temple of God. What you are is the field. Look at verse 16, the next question. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know this? We won't really dig into this terminology too much again for a few more chapters. Whenever at the end of chapter 6, Paul goes into that your body is the temple passage. And then way up in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul will do a little bit more work on who you are and what you look like and how you are not a part of the idol system of the world. But he says it here as if it's something they ought to know. So I think it's been part of the gospel. I think it's been part of the foundational gospel that Paul has presented to the Corinthian people, that they are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in them. Tomorrow, I want to deal with 17, which is an interesting passage about God destroying something in someone. And we need to see it through context, but we need to see it in the lens of the original Greek, where there's some important things. We'll do that together tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.